take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Hello, friends. Thank you for joining me again today. I just found out not too long ago that you guys are loving our show. You are sharing it far and wide. And the numbers that the network owner has given to us, with only being in, you know, on air for a couple months, is just mind blowing. So thank you so much for making us such a part of your day. Essentially, guys, you know, Nurses Out Loud are playing Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time, with an encore at 11 p.m. So I have a very special guest. It is Five Times August. And he and I met for the first time in Orlando a few months ago at an event that was going on. And I just wanted him to share his story. And I'm just going to play a little bit of his music for you right now. This song is called Fight For You.
Through the madness and the lies, as they're holding back the truth, no matter what they try, I will always fight for you. I will save your innocence they are trying to remove. I am here at your defense, and I will always fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will stand here in the way, and I will not give up on you. I will shield you from. In the battle on the field, there is evil on the move. But I hope that you can feel that I will always fight for you. In the darkness of the times, there's a light that shines the proof. It'll soon reveal the crime, so I won't stop this fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will brave every attack, and I will not give up on you. I will always have your back. So to every single mother, father, stand up for your sons and daughters. Do not back down, don't let up. You are all they have for armor. So make this a war to win. Look in their eyes and tell them that I will always fight for you. I will stand guard at the gate, and I will not give up on you. I will stop each shot they take. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will always fight for you.
Oh my goodness, that is such a powerful song. It gets me every single time. It is part of a campaign that he has going on, which is my honor to highlight. And with me today and coming back as a co-host is Nurse Jennifer Bridges, RN. And she is the nurse that spoke up and actually led the charge when they were trying to require the vaccine mandate with Houston Methodist, which was the first hospital system in our country that that came out and said that they were going to make every employee get an experimental injection or else they're going to lose their job. And so she's going to update us on what she has going on and her lawsuit here on the second half. But for right now, welcome Jennifer and Brad.
Hey, y'all. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yes. This is Brad with Five Times August. Brad, tell us a little bit about yourself. I think music is such a powerful way to get a message across. And this seems like, there's several of your songs that I would consider like anthems for this medical freedom movement. How were you inspired to write the music and the words that are so powerful?
Well, I had 2 decades worth of music career behind me before all this mess sort of entered into the picture. And I started Five Times August way back in 2001, right after I was in high school. And so I toured the country and had a whole career of music licensing through film and TV and radio. And, through that time, I became a dad and I did some children's music and stuff. And then 2020 hits and, the 2 weeks to slow the spread starts and I'm like, okay. And so I start doing these parodies online just for fun. And I didn't even really think we're going to be seen by anybody. And they were sort of, looking back now, they kind of come across as cheesy little PSAs to wash your hand or something like that. It's not even really that funny anymore. But like after the, the 2 weeks became a month and then 6 months, and it just wasn't funny. And it kind of shut me down as an artist and what I wanted, what was happening. I had to sit long and hard thinking about, what I wanted to say musically. I was kind of looking around wondering where the other musicians were, but most importantly, I was thinking about my kids and the world that we were creating for my kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to look back on this time and know that I didn't do anything about it or speak up about it. And so I released a song in January of 2021 called God Help Us All. That was sort of, I thought it was going to be just like my say on the matter. I thought I'd put out this one song and just sort of maybe move on from it. And what happened was I started getting a lot of backlash from my current fan base at the time. And, people upset with what I was saying, speaking up about what was important to me. But almost simultaneously, I had new people writing me that were saying, thank you for saying this, that were discovering this song. And so that let me know that I wasn't alone in the way that I was feeling. And it also told me that I needed to continue writing music like this to let others know that they weren't alone. So over the course of the last 2 years, I released an album's worth of songs. They were singles, and I would do a song and then a video with it. And it kind of culminated into this album, Silent War, that I released in November. It's just a sort of a collection of all those singles. Mm-hmm. And, now it's sort of, I've turned it into a campaign with the song Fight For You. To help the injured. And that also coincides with my disappointment in a lot of the musicians that didn't show up to the battle. And if they did, they were paid propagandists through Pfizer and stuff. We've seen a lot of artists either do songs that were like, pro-vaccine or songs or campaigns like the No Plan Go campaign through Pfizer that recently came out with like Pink and John Legend. And that stuff really pushed me to, actually take action, because I thought I'm just going to do the opposite of that. I'm not going to collect a check from Big Pharma. I'm going to actually take my music and try to raise money to help those who have been injured by this, because it was so pushed on, is pushed on everybody, every man, woman, and child over the last 3 years. And those that thought they were doing the right thing, or however they were coerced into getting it, are now left behind in the dust. And no one is really there to help them through this matter. So it was important to me as I have an older son who's been injured by his early childhood vaccine. So there's a lot of layers to it, but that's kind of how I ended up here.
Okay, so it was a personal, experience with your family that you already knew prior to going into this, that you were going to really question taking experimental shot. Yeah.
I mean, we've been down this rabbit hole for 10 years now, since our oldest. Like many parents, you go along and you think you're doing whatever the doctor tells you to do, and you see reactions. And my wife, her mama bear instincts kicked in, and she went down the rabbit hole, and I just went along with her. So we were already, pre-COVID, we were watching The High Wire, following Children's Health Defense, and just in the whole medical freedom world. So you could tell something was off about all this from the beginning. And you could see the vaccine thing coming a mile away. You knew there was a shot coming along the way. I try not to use the word vaccine, but the shot was coming. You could see it. And, we knew that wasn't even going to be a thing in our family. We didn't do any of the masks or anything. I was trying to shield my children from the entire experience, trying to keep their innocence intact. And, there was no way around it. You'd go to a park or something and it was shut down, and silly things like that. And, enough was enough. I just felt like I needed to step forward artistically. It was interesting going from children's music actually into protest music, because they're so, complete opposites. I was releasing these nice songs that were about kindness and gratitude and just the most pure message I could put into the world, to come out on the other side of it singing, angry songs about Anthony Fauci and Joe Biden and Bill Gates and stuff. So it's been an interesting journey for sure. But, it's just what needs to be done, in my perspective. It now is the time to stand up for what you believe in, to try and fight for what's right and risk everything that you have. Otherwise, there's not going to be anything to risk in the future or your kids' future.
Amen to that. I want to give you so much respect and just admiration, because I've seen that commercial with Pink and John Legend and a whole bunch of them. And the fact that these big stars, musicians, movie stars, all that stuff, getting paid all this money to push it and, injure people and get people to do something just to get paid, that's just sick. And people like you and Aaron Lewis, and there's others that have totally done the right thing and didn't care what happened to them, the money aspect, what was going to happen to them with their career. Y'all are the real stars out there, because that means a lot more than just worrying about getting a paycheck or if you can go back into Hollywood or not.
Thank you. Well, it's interesting, because I always sat on the outskirts of like that kind of rock and roll lifestyle and thinking like I was never going to be that kind of rock and roll star or whatever, rebellious rocker, anti-establishment kind of guy. I mean, I grew up admiring those people, those 60s protest artists and stuff like that. And so, I thought that was cool. But then we get to this time and place where it matters more than ever to speak up and be anti-establishment. And then, to me, I wasn't really protesting anything. I was just speaking up for what was important to me. And it has turned into protest, because it's become so controlled by propaganda and government messaging and stuff. And so it's just disappointing that after all this time, you sort of, you see the true lay of the land of the rock and roll lifestyle, is that they were all sort of, most of them were cowards. They didn't show up. And if they did, they joined the regime and got it, collected a check on the backs of all these injured individuals.
Yeah, it's horrible. You think how much, like I said earlier, that music means to people. Music is one of those special things. I mean, I don't even know if thing is the right word, but releases that we have, you know, people, you know, are healed by music, you know, people are taken on another like spiritual level with music. And to think of how music is now. And, you know, with my kid, you know, I still have a 13-year-old at home and, you know, I'm like, we don't need to be listening to that. You know, it's not good to fill your soul with those types of things. And, you know, especially as a mom, I think like, what are they even saying? I can't even hear, you know, yeah. And this was even back, you know, my whole life, I make up words to songs, you know?
Yeah.
But when you find out like what they're saying and what's being put out there, it's just demonic in many senses.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's so much, I don't know, fluff out there right now in mainstream entertainment that really doesn't mean anything other than just, you know, degeneracy for the most part. It's really sad. I mean, that's sort of always been underneath, you know, the idea of, you know, I don't know, of what we've had at hand in mainstream media, speaking out, being against your parents and all that stuff. But now I think society has seen the results of that, of, you know, 50, 60 years of rock and roll, of being against your parents and rebelling. And like, you know, it's a fine line between rebelling and rebelling, because we've gone so far into rebelling everything that now those people have come full circle into joining the regime somehow. It's really weird and backwards. But I think a lot of entertainment is like, there's so much agenda piped in through it now. And it's sort of mainstream manufactured. There's no heart in it. And that was something that I was really conscious of too, with these songs, was doing something real and organic. So most of the songs, especially early on, were just me and guitar, and getting sort of back to that, and something that you could really feel and connect with. And so, you know, I think that that's one reason why so many have connected with it. I'm so grateful so many have connected with it all around the world, because it kind of gives me hope that we're not as divided as we all appear to be. We did a tour in Austria in December, and that was called the Resilience Tour. And I was on tour with some of the doctors, Dr. Malone, Dr. Cole, Dr. Kat Lindley. And it was incredible to go from Texas to Austria and have these conversations and hear stories of what they've gone through the last 3 years, and to feel like you know them already. That's sort of the great silver lining of this time, this dark period, is that the true resistance has sort of found each other. You really saw who was made of what over the last 3 years, and you either became stronger or you cowered to the demands of the government. So, you know, I feel like now we know the lay of the land, and now we sort of have to figure out solutions.
Well, that's exactly right. You really saw what people were made of, and really the spirits that they follow. You know, the more I see what's happening, and when I say like the demonic forces have literally been unleashed, you know, we are seeing it in, you know, the castration of our children, right? And the promotion of death after a baby is born. I mean, just absolute evil. And if you don't, you know, go with their psychotic tendencies, right, to, you know, tell you someone that you're a cat or a woman just because you say you are, like, that to me is just so demonic. It's like, there's no way that I would keep my mouth shut on that, you know? And I know you, Jennifer, like, you're shaking your head like, no way.
No, if my kid tried to use a litter box or something, oh my gosh. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'm gonna love you no matter what, but we're gonna nip that one in the bud right away.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I appreciate your music. I appreciate you being a man speaking out, because yes. I'll tell you, right? There's not many men.
No, I've got to interrupt you real quick and commend you for that, because the mama bears have taken this one over and not as many men are. And for you to come out is like super bravery right there, because you would think it'd be more of them, but for some reason it's turned into the woman's fight kind of. And like you said too, this is a whole new era. They've been trying to separate us, you know, and create discrimination in that. But just like you said, this is the one time I've ever seen in my life where it doesn't matter what color, what nationality, what religion, what politics, right. No one cares about anything except just joining together and let's beat this, let's fight this, you know? So yes, you are a rock star in so many ways.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Well, I think that that's what's so important about the injured stories, is that it's everybody. It's adults, it's children, it's Black and white, it's Republicans, Democrats. Like that's why the stories are so important. That's why I think they're suppressed so much too, because it keeps that under wraps. It keeps us divided by not knowing that. But I think that once the truth of these stories hit a certain point, because these stories are only going to keep growing and growing, and that you can only make up so many excuses until how many is enough. So I think that that is unfortunately going to be something that does bring people back together, is the realization of how much our government, how much Big Pharma has destroyed all of our lives. If I can help push that conversation forward, so much the better. I hope more do. I was just on the High Wire yesterday with Ernest Ramirez, and he told his story about losing his son, and he is a true warrior charging ahead. He is just on the go all the time, trying to stand up for the injured and his new family that he's made through the last several years. Mm-hmm. And the whole episode's theme was actually about fathers fighting, which is, it's nice to see that there are more fathers sort of stepping up to the plate. I've been on the sidelines as a dopey dad, sort of hearing, your wife goes down the rabbit hole and she's worried about the kids and she's doing all the work, and I heard it all along the way. But I think what happens for most guys is once you feel like it's really encroached on your front lawn, that's when it really sort of kicks in, because that's what happened to me during the COVID era. Everything that I knew about that we were involved in the medical freedom movement sort of kicked into overdrive. And it's like, okay, now you've really pushed me into this realm of it's like a father interviewing a boy on the date or something, that kind of like, you know, you're like, now you've done it or something like that. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a bad analogy, but you know what I mean? You get very protective of your kids. And I think dads have a natural idea of like, well, I'll handle it if it gets to a certain point. And it got to a certain point for me. And I think that for other dads, there are other musicians that are speaking up, other dads who are musicians that I've met along the way over the last several years, who are fighting back, you know. And it's an interesting thing to see how the fathers are fighting back, as a matter of fact, because, you know, our instinct is to, you know, punch back, and we're trying to find this careful way to speak. So I'm grateful that I at least have the music to speak through and fight back.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate you coming out. I think the next thing you need to write is a song encouraging the men to come forward. How about that?
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Just tell people where you'll be. Brad?
Mm-hmm. And sure.
July,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll let Jennifer tell those details if she likes.
Okay. All right. Well,
but I can tell you where. I mean, you can follow the website, the Fight For You campaign at 5timesaugust.com. There's a banner at the top of the page that will take you to the details. And essentially, what the campaign is 100% of digital sales from the album Silent War are going to be benefiting React 19. And they'll be going to the organization that's helping out the injured throughout the month of April. So basically just download the album from Apple or Amazon. And then once those sort of sales and residuals come in, I will collect them all and hand them over to React 19 so we can, you know, help these individuals who have been silenced. But yeah, we'll be down in the Houston area on July 22nd with some of the injured and with some outspoken individuals in our movement. So I'll let Jennifer tell you those details.
Awesome, guys. All right. So go to 5timesaugust.com and support them and support our sponsors. We'll be right back.
It's time and this is
world-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
In 2008, people could spend an average of 12 seconds on a task without becoming distracted. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds. The digital age is narrowing our attention span. Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus, concentrate longer, and strengthen recall. These physician-formulated gels come in a small gel pack. Tear off the top, shoot it down. Thousands of 5-star reviews proves it works. Supercharge your brain and see the difference. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on all the fear-mongering, but deep down you try and minimize viral exposure and your risk of getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine nasal solution. I don't need to tell you just how powerful a nasal cleansing formula with xylitol, povidone iodine, and vitamin D3 for immune support could be. In fact, my attorney told me not to tell you. Google it and find out for yourself. Now, get yourself a bottle of American-made Cofix RX Nasal Solution. Let's get out and live again. CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com. Use coupon code OUTLOUD and get 20% off.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. The liberty and justice for all.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You wouldn't go a day without brushing your teeth or washing your hands. What about washing your nose? I mean, your nose does filter the air you breathe, air loaded with bacteria, viruses, and irritants. Make nasal hygiene part of your routine with Clear. No messy bottles to fill, no drowning sensation. Clear is a natural drug-free saline with the added benefit of xylitol, which blocks bacterial and viral adhesion. Available in stores and online at clear.com. That is X-L-E-A-R.com. It's time and this
is love. Thank you guys for joining us on Nurses Out Loud. This is your host, Nurse Jodi O'Malley, and I have Nurse Jennifer Bridges with me co-hosting today. So thankful for her and her heart in this fight. And the first half, if you guys did not listen to that and you're just catching us now, we had on here Five Times August, which is Brad is his name. He is the singer of Five Times August and is just a wonderful musician that is creating anthems essentially for this cause. I don't know if that's what he intended to, but his music is surely taking off. And the cause that I'm talking about is medical freedom and vaccine injuries. He did talk about prior to this that one of his children were vaccine injured. So he has been, a proponent for vaccine education and has worked with organizations such as Children's Health Defense. So I'd like to take this time to actually announce my affiliation with Children's Health Defense, which I just accepted a 3-month contract where I am tasked with creating conversations and starting chapters in the Native American communities, as well as the military. So guys, if you are listening to this and you have a heart to educate your community and you want to gather people and create chapters, reach out to me at jodi.omalley, that's jodi.omalley at childrenshealthdefense.org. And we will get the conversation started and the resources to you right away. All right, Jennifer. So you were the nurse that actually went around and gathered signatures right before Houston Methodist Hospital, which is an extremely large hospital system in Texas, was going to be the first organization in America to mandate. Can you tell us about that? Thank you for being here and thank you for your courage and bravery. And thank you for representing nurses well.
Oh, yes. And same back at you, sister. Thank you for having me. And you, just one thing after another, you keep amazing me. But yes, Houston Methodist, Leading Tyranny, started this whole mandate situation back in 2021. Me with some fellow coworkers saw the mandates coming, tried to be proactive, tried to do it the right way, but we had no idea what we were up against. And then basically getting an email after I tried to, get people to sign my petition, which I had over like a couple hundred agree with us. And that was just me alone doing that work. And we got our deadline, June 7th, 2021. Take the 2 shots or 2-week unpaid suspension, which I guess during that week, they were just hoping we'd cower down and go take it. Then June 22nd, you were terminated. It didn't matter who you were, what was going on, you were gone. And the rest of the country was watching our story for a few months, knowing they might be next, but everybody was waiting to see how it would play out to see if they could get away with it. So then basically I started a big online petition. Got on the news media, which exploded, got all over the national, international news, found a lawyer, which was extremely hard because I even reached out to the big ones and no one wanted our case. Everybody told me no, because it was the first. It was untouchable, never been done before, no president. So every lawyer was giving me excuses, but no one would touch it.
No one would touch it. Yeah. No one. Yeah. I didn't have many people reaching out to me either. And the one person that did that got $20,000 really didn't do anything. And so I hear you. It's like, okay, well, where are the other people fighting here? Like, I need your help, you know?
Yes, yes. And it's not like I was hiding. I mean, you could turn on any TV and find me. So, I mean, they should have been, somebody should have been reaching out trying to help, but I wasn't getting it. So we found a lawyer out of Houston willing to take our case. Mm-hmm. And we were very hopeful, you know, our the first federal judge dismissed it. We filed an appeal, got in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Well, without knowing, my lawyer took a tremendous amount of money from us, over 200 grand, got to the Fifth Circuit Appeals and bombed our case. Just completely did not perfect his appeal, did not handle it very well at all. I even found out after the fact that he might have been a little compromised because one of his lifelong buddies was on the board of Methodist, who he was actually endorsing for a political run. So it was just too many.
Wow.
Yes. Too many conflicts of interest. So they dismissed our case and everybody even knew he just did a horrible job. So everybody across the news was saying, oh, we lost our case, blah, 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 blah. But it's not that we lost it. It just got dismissed because unfortunately in the legal system, in the courts, it's not about what's right and wrong. It's just about how well your lawyer can argue and present facts and know the laws well enough to get the judges to agree with it. It really has nothing to do with right or wrong. I mean, these judges should have seen this was wrong and acted on it, but that's not how it works. So our lawyer did a horrible job. Well, then basically I fired him. I was like, all right, we're done. You've made your bed.
Wow.
So then I was like, I can't let this go. This is wrong. Like we can't just lay over and be done. So I literally called over 50 lawyers, got recommendations from other lawyer friends, doctors, this and that. Everybody told me no. Everybody was like, either we don't touch mandates, it's a conflict of interest, or I had a couple lawyers even tell me that we think you should get the shot, so we probably shouldn't represent you. And I literally got in an argument with this one lawyer, and I'm like, so when did your opinion as a lawyer like trump the Constitution? Like, that doesn't make sense. So then a great doctor friend of mine gave me a recommendation of one guy in Austin, Roger Burgelt. He's like, he's a great lawyer. He's a bulldog, you know, try him out. So I called him and he's like, yeah, I've been following your case and your lawyer did a bad job. So I was like, well, would you like to represent us? And he said, sure. So he worked with me in a lot of areas to help us financially because he knew what we had already been through.
Yeah.
And then we were blessed. We just happened to find this amazing expert legal consultant out of Florida who I got on board with my lawyer. They tag team and we just filed our brand new lawsuit in Texas state courts this past Monday. And you can go there, look it up, see the whole thing. People are just blown away because what this legal consultant had to offer, no other lawyer, judge, nobody in the country has touched on yet because he kind of went down the rabbit hole himself these past 2 years and pulled up laws and contracts and so many things that people didn't even realize existed. Mm. So this is a whole new ballgame that we're hitting them with. And I think Methodist is going to be shaking in their shoes because this could legit bring up criminal charges against some of them. And this is going to be a fun ride. I'm excited about this one.
You know what? I hear you. I love that when you're just like, just kind of excited about the whole possibility because, you know, for me, I had just had court last week. You know, I have somebody in the video that put an order of protection on me back in October, right after my story, right after the video released, and the judge granted it. I mean, all of a sudden one day, you know, as a whistleblower, every time, you know, the doorbell rings or a car pulls up in front of your house, you're like, oh shit, who's serving me what now, you know? And And yeah, they got an order of protection on me. And then I was like, I'm fighting this. So again, you know, thousands of dollars had to go out, and they had a hearing and the judge upheld it. And I'm like, are you kidding? And then, you know, because it doesn't really matter. I had no, I never said their name, you know, I just referred to their job title. I wasn't encouraging people to like go after them. You know, I never went after them. I actually pray for them, you know, because I feel like their eyes are just so blinded to see what they've done. And then when the year expired, I get another one that the judge extended it. And so I was just like, this is insane. So I have a good attorney, Ryan Heath with the Gavel Project, and Mike Yoder, who is actually my other attorney, really helping me on my federal side with the whistleblower. But, you know, they both agreed like this is ridiculous. So I just had to go to court over that. And we'll see. We have another court case for closing arguments. I mean, like, come on. This is costing thousands of dollars. And I'm like, I am not a threat. I mean, if anybody should have been concerned, it would be me for going against the whole narrative, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And same with you. So court is just, I mean, it's so emotionally draining, Jennifer, isn't it? It's like,
oh, it is, but I am just like, I am like itching to get into that courtroom. I just want them to see me. I want to speak. I'm like dying because they keep robbing me of it. Like the two times, the first federal judge we went in front of, my lawyer, and I didn't know any better back then, he's like, oh, you don't need to come. This is just for the lawyers, blah, blah, blah. So I stayed home. But then later on, I was like, I should have been there. So yeah. He robbed me of that one. And then the you're going to love this one. So when we were in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, it was supposed to be in person. So we got hotel rooms. Some people booked flights. We were all ready to go, show up, be there. Well, like 3 days before the court date, the Methodist lawyer puts in that they've contracted COVID.
Oh, my God.
I know, you can't make this shit up. And then that they can't go in person because they have COVID, so they have to do it via Zoom. So nobody asked us if that was okay. The court grants it to them. So we didn't even get to go to court. It was all done through Zoom. And the only ones allowed to be on the Zoom were the lawyers, the judges, that's it. So I'm literally, yes!
Why? So
Exactly. Nobody else was allowed to legally be on the Zoom call because that's how the judges did it. Uh-huh. So I'm literally, but everybody in the public could get on and listen to it, but you couldn't partake in it. I couldn't do nothing. So as the lead plaintiff, I was totally robbed of being there, having anything to do with it. I'm literally sitting at my friend's house just listening to it. And I'm just like infuriated because I'm hearing my lawyer just speak out of his butt and just like be horrible. And I'm literally sitting there texting him in all caps. What are you doing? Why aren't you saying this? Like, blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, I keep getting robbed. So I'm like, I can't wait. This, as soon as we get a court date, I am like going to be camping there overnight. Like, I'm going to be like, I'm here. Let's go. Come on.
No, I felt that way when I was in court too, you know, because I've had those scenarios when I had to go in front of the State Board of Nursing and this and that, where I'm sitting there literally giving them like daggers and like almost like a kid pulling on the jacket, like, say this. Say this, why are you not saying this? You know? And, but when I was at court for this hearing, here's the cool thing. So they want to admit into evidence, interviews that I've done in which I've referred to their job description. And so they wanted to just like clip it, right? And just play, you know, the 2 minutes. And my attorney stands up and he's like, Your Honor, if we're admitting this into evidence, we have to listen to everything prior, you know, so you can get context. And then the judge is like, so you want to listen to our recording? And he's like, yes, sir. And so when it came our time up, I'm sitting here watching this whole interview right, in the courtroom. So the judge gets to see the entire interview prior to it. And I'm just like, oh, cool. But that just totally just states our case right there. I'm telling you my intent, telling you my purpose. I'm telling you my license, telling you all of it. But yeah, I did have a very cool court moment the other day. We'll see how he rules when we come back. But yeah, girl, like, just thank you so much for continuing in this fight. Like I said, your case came out in June, right? Where June of 2021.
Well, we filed in May because initially we were trying to get an injunction before our deadline in June so we didn't get fired. Right. And my lawyer even screwed that up. And instead of having a chance of an injunction, they took it out of state court, threw it in federal court, and we lost all chance of injunction.
Oh, so because they changed jurisdiction?
From my understanding, it was supposed to be a state lawsuit, and we were going to file a federal one later. But the wording he used in the state suit, the evil Methodist lawyers were allowed to grab it and put it directly into federal court. So they did it so fast because I think they were afraid in state court that we might be able to get the injunction. And then they kind of had some pull with the federal judges. So it was all done intentionally because our whole case at first was trying not to get fired. Mm-hmm. And then the first judge, Judge Hughes, who dismissed it originally, he's even on record stating things like, you know, he was always kind of upset because all his other little judge friends are on the board of these hospitals and no one ever asked him to be on the board and all this stuff. And we're literally like, seriously? Like, is this not a conflict of interest? Like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, you know, tell our listeners, like, what gave you the courage and the strength? Because for me, that is my biggest thing. It's like, you know, when I look back at like, really, what is the root problem? What is the one thing that, you know, needs to change for society to change? And I think that's courage. Like, we have a pandemic of cowards. That's what we have. If it comes down to it, for me, it is literally black and white. People are cowards by and far the large majority are cowards, and they are following the wrong spirit. They are following the spirit of fear, the spirit of excess, the spirit of comfort, whatever that spirit, right? Like, they don't want to change and they don't want to risk their comfortable life. Even though they see the chaos that's happening around them, they're thinking somebody else is going to do it. And at the end of the day, when you look back and you're like, okay, here, there's not many nurses and we have 4 million of us.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? What makes you, Jennifer?
Well, I'll tell you that. But what I thought of from since the beginning, if all the nurses would have just stood up and walked out and went on strike and said, no, we're not going to do this, it would have ended before it even began. Could you imagine the power we had? Mm-hmm. But nothing happened. And I always tell people, it's a lot like, have you ever seen the movie Divergent?
Have you ever seen that movie? I don't think so.
Oh my God, it's a good movie, but you have to watch it. It's literally Hollywood explaining this to a T. It's literally all these people are put in these fascist systems. You only do this, you can't do this, and you're controlled. Well, these couple individuals that are divergent go outside, fight the government, want to be a part of everything, and you can't control them. And the government hates them, so they try to get rid of them. And then they in turn are the ones that get all of society to help out and like go against it. And they're called divergent. And in one part of the movie, I'm not even lying, they take the strongest population that are the athletic ones, and the government people inject them with something into their neck, which controls their minds. And they try to take these people to murder all the other ones that might be in the way.
Oh,
and it's literally like what, you know, and so like, I'm not going to spoil the movie, but it's a great movie. It's got different parts to it. But when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, this is like we're divergent. Like, this is what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just simple, just black and white, good and bad, evil and, you know, good. I mean, I saw the lying, the bullying, the covering up, the way you they were treating patients, the things they weren't talking about, people full of anxiety, crying, just the higher ups being mean and bullying and just, this isn't right. Like, you don't do this. You don't treat people like this. Like, if, you know, if I was walking down the street and I saw some poor guy getting bullied for no reason, I'm not just going to walk by. I'm going to be like, dude, you know, and I'm going to do something to stop it because that's not right. And so many people don't have that mentality. They just want to ignore a situation, cover their own butt, move on with their happy life because they don't want to lose anything they potentially have. But to me, it's like, no, like, being good, doing what's right, no matter how hard it is, that's what's more important. Mm-hmm. If it's easy to do all the time, then it's probably not worth it. And it's probably not the right thing to do. Like, no matter what happens, you should always do what's right. You shouldn't pick the easy road and just do something, you know, when you know in your heart, it's not right. I mean, everyone's going to have their judgment day. You know, and I want to be able to look back when I'm like 90, 100 years old in my deathbed and know that I did what was right, no matter what, you know, and I lived a fulfilled life and I didn't cower down to anything, you know, and then hopefully it can help make a difference for other people in my children, you know, because if we don't, I mean, my grandfather served in World War II. I mean, what he went through, he'd be rolling in his grave right now if he knew what people were just letting happen,
right?
You know, and not standing up to it. And that's the thing. If everybody just puts on blinders, then it continues to move forward. And then you're left with a horrible situation that you can't overturn. So yeah. you gotta have people stand up and fight it before it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. My son and I just took him to Boston a couple of weeks ago and we did the Freedom Trail. And part of the Freedom Trail was the Battle of Lexington. And there's this pub that's still standing, right? It's really cool. Uh-huh. And we went in there and they said that there were about 80 people and a quarter of them were under 18 years old that got out and fought. And you think about that, like 80 people, that's a lot that came out to stand up, but there were thousands, right? And you look at where we are in this fight, you know, we more and more are coming, you know, to help. Like I say, is coming to help us because, you know, you do grow weary, you know, and you do feel alone sometimes. And, you know, Dr. Aaron Cariardi, he wrote a foreword in my book. And he said, if there were only 100 more Jodys, this pandemic never would have happened. If there were only 100 more Jennifers, this pandemic, we would never be where we're at right now.
Yeah.
You think about that. It doesn't take a lot, but it take like, what do they call them? The one percenters. Yeah. The one percenters. And that's, you know, that's what we need to gather. Those are the people that we need to call forward and let them know. I mean, Jennifer, if a nurse came up to you and said, I was one of those nurses on the floor that was bullying, that was talking crap about you. As soon as you walked away, trying to get the petition signed. But now I've realized that you were doing what you felt was right and what was right for humanity. And I want to help you. What would you say to that nurse?
I would give her a big hug and I would say, thank you. You know, I understand that most people didn't know what was going on at first and didn't have the heart or the critical thinking skills to do the proper research and figure it out on its own. But come on, it's never too late. Let's jump on board and we're going to rock it. And it was funny because things like that would happen. I would hear people tell me while I was still there that so-and-so was saying this or so-and-so was saying this. So, you know, I'm kind of like, I'm not going to just let it go. So I would show up in their unit and just like, hey, how's it going? Just to see what they would say to me. But of course, they were always like my best friend.
Yeah. And, same girl. It's so funny. It's like nobody hardly has reached out to me from my hospital. I get a couple of insiders that I have there, you know,
yeah.
But they're all still friends with me on Facebook. It's like,
yeah,
they just can't turn away. And you know what? And I think that is from our ability to shine our light in the darkness, to be the voice of the truth to the world, to be revolutionary, game changers, uncompromised, bold, empowered, because you know what, guys, we stand in love and we stand in truth. And I thank you again for joining me, Jennifer. We are going to do another show together and I cannot wait because we both have so much of our stories that need to be heard and shared. And so guys, please share all of our shows on Nurses Out Loud. We are here with you Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern time with an encore at 11 p.m. Eastern. All of our shows go to podcast a couple days later. So make sure that you are liking, sharing, reviewing, leave a review. They love reviews. And share it with your friends and your family. You know, you don't have to tell them why. You could say, hey guys, have you heard of these nurses? You know, check out what they're saying and just leave it at that. You know, let other people make the decision because our job is to empower and to inform. And that's what we do. We're nurses. We will stand in the gap for you. We will advocate. We will educate. And we will love you through it all. Until next time, be safe, be well, and God bless.
It's time.